This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Ralph Sampson and Dave Doran, who joined us in hour number two, and DJ Turner, who's still catching passes, went nuts against Virginia Tech. He joined us in hour number one as Pitt gets ready to go to Death Valley this weekend on a Saturday. And, of course, North Carolina and Notre Dame will be a big deal on a Friday. But right now, speaking of big deals, because you know, if hoop starts,
here's a big deal.
Greenberg's coming on, boys. We're going to break it down. Seth, first of all, great seeing you. I hope you and the family are well. Happy Thanksgiving and all that good stuff.
Same to you and yours. And you have this smirk on your face, Pack. So I know we got a couple of curveballs coming. Something's coming from you. I can tell. You got that little look on your face.
You know, I'm just grinding like everybody else. You know, this thing has been goofy since being in the Greensboro Coliseum in the middle of March. And everything came to a screeching halt from not only a basketball perspective, but it really was the signal that everything was coming to a screeching halt in the world of college sports. And Seth, it's been amazing to watch all these student athletes and the athletic directors and the medical personnel and the presidents and the chancellors figure out a way to have sports this fall. And now it's November 25th. We've circled the calendar. It's going to be the attempt of a start of a hoop season. It's been remarkable if you think about what was going on at the Greensboro Coliseum and where we are today from a college sports big picture.
I totally agree with you. Think about where we are at the Greensboro Coliseum. And now, you know, we're going to have college basketball. It's going to be different. We're going to have to adjust. I tell people all the time, everyone goes, well, they should have just played league games, or they should have done this, or they should have done that. Let me tell you something. A lot of thought and a lot of hard work has been put into this. And I call it the three Ps. Got to have multiple plans. Plan one is try to get the season started as it normally would be started. Two, all right, we're going to have patience because, you know what? There are going to be roadblocks and detours. And there's certain things that are going to be just out of our control. We're going to have to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable because stuff's going to happen. And then there's protocol. Now, we've got to do a better job with the protocol. We've got to have kind of a more unified protocol. We've got to figure out a way to deal with contact tracing. But look, plans, patience, and protocol will be the key. We're going to play college basketball. We're going to start like we normally would in terms of having interconference games. Maybe we're going to go back to just league play only. Maybe we're going to go into pods. Maybe we'll go into some type of bubble. But we're going to have college basketball. We should be celebrating this. We should be thankful for this. Everyone's doom and gloom. You know what's doom and gloom? I've got a 93-year-old mother, all right? She's having Thanksgiving by herself because we're afraid to bring her into our bubble. So, you know, let's celebrate the opportunity to play. Considering where we were in March, think about how far we've come right now in November. So let's celebrate it and let's get excited about the season.
You know what? I thought the three Ps were going to be A, payoff, B, prime rib, C, porterhouse. I thought those were going to be the three Ps.
I was looking forward to taking you to dinner at the Final Four. I'm sorry.
Oh, here we go with that.
Please.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Can we
get
him
off
the
air? We have such a distinguished list of people. Yeah. I mean, we have such a distinguished list of people that want to be at the event when you actually pay the bet off from 3 years ago. By the way, it'll be 3 years ago March that the bet was originally made. But
the number of people,
I have to
save up money to take all the people that you guys have invited to this thing. You got Brooks, you got Josh, you got Wes, yourself, a pack. I mean, who else you want to
Katzman.
Invite back?
Katzman's coming.
Katzman,
a bunch of others.
You know what's great? Nobody. I haven't invited anybody. Everything's hit. Oh,
it's Wes. He's the instigator.
Greenberg lost. Here's what we're gonna do. Everybody in. Let's go. It's on Seth's tab. Let's go. That's what's happened on this bad boy. All right. I didn't mean to get us off track because we do have basketball in the brain today. No question.
All right, Seth. If I'm gonna watch an ACC team. And I know Virginia, and I know Florida State, Duke, Carolina, right? I got all that kind of figured out, right? And I'm curious about them, and I'll get to those. But I need somebody early that I want to focus on who's got a chance. Who's at the top of Greenberg's got a chance list in the ACC?
I'm going to give you two, but the first one's NC State. I think NC State's going to be really good. I really do. And you think, wait a second. They lost Markell Johnson, obviously. They lost C.J. Bryce. They're going to be different. But Funderburk's going to be one of the best front court scorers and players in the league. Manny Bates is going to protect the rim. Jericho Helms, all right, a year later is going to be better. I think Daniels is going to be explosive off the bats. He can't overhandle. You know they're going to turn people over. You know they're going to play hard. You know they're going to play fast. The key is they got to get point guard play. They got to get guard play. Talking to Kevin, he loves Shaquille Moore. He thinks he's got a toughness about him. The Hayes kid understands pace and tempo of the game. I really like this NC State team. I think they're undervalued. The other team is Miami. I think Miami is going to be good if, and here's the big if. Last year, those dudes didn't guard anyone. They couldn't finish a possession. They didn't protect the front of the rim. They didn't run you off the three-point line. But they got really good guards. Add Nasir Brooks to the mix, who can block shots and rebound the ball, the transfer from Cincinnati. And now, all of a sudden, you've got an elite backcourt. You've got really a talented, talented backcourt. All right? Likes is just a hard matchup. And the Timberlake kid from DeMatha High School is a tough, physical, winning player. So I think those two teams are undervalued right now.
Interesting. And you know, again, we haven't seen anybody play. So, I mean, this is really a roll the dice crystal ball thing. And I was curious what your answer to that question was going to be, because I thought you might go Georgia Tech, because I think the Jackets, I think they're picked ninth by the quote-unquote blue ribbon panel.
Oh,
I think
Greenberg's hesitating.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I like what Josh has done. But here's the thing. If you look at their team, everyone talks about their backcourt. All right? Oh, they got the best backcourt in the ACC, and they might. But last year, that backcourt turned it over 22% of their possessions. Last year, that backcourt shot under 30% from the three-point line. Last year, that backcourt offensively, they were not efficient. So, look, we know they're going to defend. They're going to miss Banks a little bit and his rim protection. There's no doubt about it. Moses Wright is one of the most improved players in the country. I want to like Georgia Tech because I think they play hard, and I really like Josh. He's got to take that backcourt. They've got to be efficient. They've got to make shots. They've got to take care of the basketball. They've got to initiate offense, get good ball movement, and get the shot they want, not just the next shot. If they do that, boom, they move up. If they don't do that, they're not going to win close games. And in talking to Josh, he understands that. Shot making and taking care of the basketball are going to be absolutely a premium for them, and figuring out rim protection, because I'll tell you what, Banks, his ability to protect the rim made that defense a little bit better.
Seth, is there somebody that's a double-digit preseason pick as far as the conference goes that you think can get into the middle tier? I mean, is there a Pitt or a Boston College? I mean, you tell me, is there somebody that's good enough to be not necessarily one of the top four or five, but could be solid middle-of-the-pack team in the ACC?
Well, I mean, I don't know where Syracuse is in the rankings, but I think Syracuse has a chance to be really good. I do. I think their backcourt, everyone said they didn't rebound the ball last year. They didn't rebound the ball because their guards didn't come back in rebounding. Girardi, he's back. Obviously, Buddy's back. I think that Alan Griffin's going to give him some toughness and a guy that can rebound from the perimeter. Dolezal, obviously, is a terrific baseline player. I like their experience. I like their team. I think Pitt's interesting. I mean, it's all going to come down to the kid from Miami, Ohio, if he gets eligible. I mean, right now he's not eligible. I like their toughness. You know, I always talk about two things, and Steve Forbes talks about this. Identity is immediate. Culture takes time. Right now, I think Jeff Capel, he's developing a culture, all right, a culture built on toughness, culture built on getting stops, turning people over, being physical. They're a year older. They're going to take better care of the basketball. But another team, you got to make shots. And can they rebound the basketball? I think those will be the two big questions for Pitt. I do like Syracuse, though.
All right, Seth, I'm going to offer you one team here that I think has veteran presence, enough young guys to impact, kind of had some moments last year, and I'm taking the early buy on Clemson. I like what the Tigers have from an experience standpoint with Sims and Newman and guys like that, and I like the influence of the young guys they put on the floor, too, I think.
Yeah, I think Clemson's an interesting team. Obviously, look, you got a guy that can be player of the year in the league in Sims. I mean, you know, he's as tough a matchup as there is in the country. I talked to Brad the other day. They're going to start him at five and move him all over the place in the action, which creates just matchup problems. Newman has a feel to score. Obviously, Dawes can push it and run the point. The kid, P.J. Hall, as a freshman, it'll be interesting to watch his growth. I think if he can step forward and do some things and impact the game when they get into league play, I think they'll be an interesting watch. Look, they're going to defend you. They're going to turn you over. They're going to make you guard. All right? They've got, again, another team. It sounds silly, but they got to make some shots. But they do have a unique matchup in Sims. I think he's so unique because of how Brad uses him in the action. So Clemson's always a hard team to play against and a hard place to play at.
Is there a mystery team in the league, Seth? I mean, if I said to you, Louisville, what do you think Louisville is going to look like for this season?
I worry about Louisville. I mean, you think they lost their top four scorers, and then they lost Malik Williams. I mean, Malik Williams, and people say, well, Malik Williams, what are his numbers? He was their best front court defender. He was the best rim protector. He was the best ball screen defender. All right, so now look, what's going to happen? David Johnson, you know what? David Johnson, you got to step up. We're playing through you. You've got to make plays. Samuel Williamson, all right, you've got to take the next step. You've got to impact the game. Carlick Jones, the transfer from Radford. I talked to Dino Guardio the other day. He absolutely loves the kid. He said he can create separation. He can knock down a three. He can get in the lane. I think those three guys are going to have to be the heart and soul. The big question is, will they be able to post-defend? Will they be able to rebound the basketball? I think it's going to be really interesting to watch this Louisville team because, to me, I just don't know if they're talented enough 1-7. I think their perimeter game will be fine. The question is, what are they going to do in the front court? So I have some concerns about them. And I'll tell you a team that, you know, let's face it, who came in last in the ACC last year?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. They could be in the Final Four this year. They have the best front court in college basketball. Not even close.
Ooh.
The best front court in college. Not even close. Whether it's Brooks, whether it's Baycott, whether it's Kessler, whether it's Sharp, you've got four dudes that are as good as any. And I talked to Roy the other day. Here's an interesting thing. He said he's got to be more demanding of his team. That there's a standard at North Carolina. And you know what? He got away from the standard. And the standard is how hard you play, how hard you compete. Let's not make excuses. They got to get point guard play. R.J. Davis, city tough. New York City point guard, love him. Caleb Love, obviously city tough. A guy who can make plays. Here's the question. Are they going to make shots? Leaky Black, will he make enough shots to keep people honest? Will Anthony Harris get healthy? But last year, look, Carolina, +7 on the glass. They rebounded the ball. They didn't defend like Carolina. All right, that's just the way it is. They turned it over, and they weren't efficient offensively. I think Roy Williams, they get back to playing Carolina basketball, making you react to them, playing at a warp speed, attacking the glass, getting easy buckets. They've got terrific post play where they can play that post-to-post offense they want. But Roy says they're going to even play faster. Neil, when I coached against Carolina, the first thing you said to your team was, get back! So if they're going to play faster and they've got some shot makers and you know they can fetch it on the glass, Carolina, to me, they could go from worst in the ACC. Let's face it, they weren't worst in the ACC, to potentially the Final Four.
All right. By the way, as a sidebar to Seth's conversation with Roy Williams, Roy then sent Seth the coat he's wearing today. All right, so we move on to talking about – all right, Seth, every year this league starts with a punch list of freshmen that everybody wants to pay attention to, right? And for all the guys you just mentioned at Carolina, for all the guys at Duke, for all the guys named Scotty Barnes at Florida State
–
there's still pieces. There's still pieces to teams, though, okay? For instance, I will give you, and you mentioned one, and that's Garrison Brooks, a leader at Carolina. At Duke, the leader is Jordan Goldwire, and I don't think America understands the value Jordan Goldwire will have this year.
100%. That's very good of you, by the way. Great observation, Wes. Jordan Goldwire is the most important player at Duke. There's no doubt about it. And when I say that, you think about Coach K's team, especially young teams, not uber talented like maybe, you know, national championship teams. They always have one guy that kind of brings them all together, who when there's a free throw can actually be the voice of Coach K. And that's going to be Jordan Goldwire. He played 24 minutes a game last year. He shot 35% from the three, but he can defend. He's tough. He knows exactly what Coach K wants. To me, you can talk about all the freshmen you want. When you think about Duke, Jordan Goldwire is the most important Blue Devil because he will be the leader of this team. He'll be the voice of Coach K in the locker room. He's going to teach these young guys what it is to be a member of the Duke program, the standard, how hard you got to practice, how to deal with Coach if he's challenging you. Jordan Goldwire, most valuable Duke Blue Devil to me. So, Wes, I 110% agree with you. I think he's a special player. And you mentioned Scotty Barnes, and, you know, we didn't talk Florida State. Let me get one thing if we got a second. Four first-round draft choices in 2 years at Florida State. Four, all right? They still return six guys that play double-figure minutes. MJ Walker's going to take maybe the next step. Look for Raekwon Evans and Raekwon Gray, all right, to have really solid years. In fact, if you think about Florida State, they were more efficient with Raekwon Evans on the floor. But talking to the Florida State people and watching tape, Scotty Barnes, he's a mixture of Magic Johnson, rebound, initiate your fast break, and Scotty Pippen, his ability to defend anyone on the floor. He's got a relentless passion to play. He's relentless on the glass. He's explosive off the bounce. And talking to Stan Jones, you know, they say he has a voice. And what I mean by a voice is when you have a freshman that's not afraid to lead, when you have a freshman that other people will follow. He was injured in practice the other day. Stan Jones said he was as engaged in that practice from the sideline as he would be if he was on the floor. To me, that makes that guy really special because he's not afraid to have his voice heard, and he backs it up with his play. Florida State, they're not going anywhere. Let me tell you, Florida State is not going anywhere. They defend, they rebound, they're competitive, they wear you out. All right, Florida State, last year's ACC champion, is not going anywhere.
All right, two things. Number one, Scotty Barnes.
You've been pretty quiet right
now. No, I listen. You know, I've learned in this chair and doing radio for 20-something years is to listen. You don't talk. You become a professional listener. You listen, you might learn something. So I've been quiet listening to you. But I will say, I've not seen Scotty Barnes play. But when I hear Magic Johnson and Scottie Pippen, no pressure, Scotty. no pressure. Hey, just go be yourself, man. We'll find out what kind of player you're going to be in due time. Here's what I want to say to you, though, Seth. We are 16 minutes into this interview, and not one time have we mentioned the University of Virginia, who a lot of people believe is the one that's got a target on their chest. We know Tony Bennett's a great coach. Bring in Hauser from Marquette. They got pieces from last year, but not one time did we mention the team that everybody apparently needs to go beat. So, with that said, your assessment of the Hoos?
Look, the Hoos are the Hoos. They're going to own the tempo of the game. They're going to keep you in front. They're going to contest shots. They're going to limit you to one shot. I think Virginia could win a national championship. Now, there are some ifs. Last year, they turned it over 22% of their possessions. They got to take better care of the ball, especially in low possession games. Last year, early in the season, they didn't shoot the three, about 29%. The last 12 games, which they won 11 of them, by the way, they shot 36% from the three-point line. Sam Hauser's going to change them, no doubt about it. 6'8", rebound the ball, career 45% three-point shooter. Tony Bennett will have fun with Sam Hauser, moving him all over the place in the action. That'll be fun to watch. They've got to replace Braxton Key's rebounding, and they got to replace DeKeyte's rim protection and defense. But look, Virginia, Keay Clark's got to take better care of the basketball. He's got to let the game come to him and just make enough shots to keep you honest. I think Walter Tensai, at the end of the season, knew where his shots were coming from, which is really, really important. People say, what's the difference in the game? All of a sudden, at the end of the season, last 12 games, shot 41% from the three-point line. He knew where his shots were coming from. He understood the patience. He understood when to attack, when to wait on a screen, when to be shot ready. Look, Virginia could win it all. Virginia right now, let's face it, over the last 3 years, they've been the best team in the ACC. They've been the best team in the ACC. As bad as they were offensively last year, they won 11 of their last 12. 11 of their last 12. And you know what? They were like 234 in offensive efficiency. They struggled at times getting a good shot. And when they got good shots, they couldn't make them. How is this going to change that significantly? And I think you know, Virginia's going to be Virginia. They're hard to play against, and I love the way they play because they make you play to their level, and they play that way better than anyone else. Virginia will be a very tough out, and to me, the team to beat in the ACC.
Let me say that this has been as strong a 20-minute appearance as Greenberg's ever offered us on this program, Pac. It's a strong effort. A-plus stuff out of the gate by Greenberg.
You know, he's lost a lot of weight. He looks great. He's ready for Thanksgiving. He's been breaking games down. He can tell you about Long Beach State just as easy as he can tell you about the University of Virginia or that Bible College team that Kennesaw State's playing or whatever all that's all about. The guy has been waiting. This is like It's go time for Seth Greenberg. Yeah. Man, it's time to tip off.
I'm just honored you guys asked me to come on.
Exactly. Well, well,
don't
here's the deal.
Stop it.
We're going to keep asking you until you pay off this bet and just shame you into it is what we're going to do. It's eventually how this is going to work out.
Oh, hey, no. You guys are the best. And it's amazing what you guys have been able to look. We all got to be thankful. I mean, look,
no doubt.
Living in unprecedented times. I mean, we've got people, you know, people complaining about games being canceled. We've got people that are unemployed. People are trying to feed their families. We've got families that have family members in the hospital. They can't even see them and tell them that they love them. People are dying and really aren't being surrounded by their loved ones. So, you know, to me, I mean, we get a chance to giggle and laugh and talk ball, and there'll be games that'll be canceled and delayed, and we all understand that. People are going to lose their minds, and lose their minds on that. Let's celebrate the things we have and appreciate the things we have.
Well said. 100% right. Amen to that.
Real quick, how's that grandfather stuff going there?
It's pretty good. We've been up there twice. We, you know, it's crazy. We've kept a pretty tight bubble, but Amelia's terrific, and she's you know, it's really fun to see your daughter, my middle daughter, become a mom, and she's an amazing mom, and it's exciting. It's kind of a new chapter in our lives, but I'm excited for her. It's been a great year. Jackie Greenberg is an attorney now. She passed the bar. My other daughter is getting ready to get married next May. We moved off a year, so it's been in most difficult times. We've had a lot of things to be thankful for.
Well, just get that blazer back to Roy before tip-off, and we'll be good
to go. He'd like this blazer. I'm not sure he could pull this blazer off.
Oh, yeah, he could. Yeah, he could. Good seeing you, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. A lot of football, a lot of hoops today. A good combination. This best time of the year. Best holiday coming up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A couple days off for us. Eat till you're happy. And again, be thankful for everything you have. And if you can give back this holiday season, man, this is the time to do it. There are a lot of folks certainly less fortunate. And man, just take care of everybody best way you can. Last night, Wes, college football playoff rankings, the first installment. And I tell folks all the time on the radio, hey, you don't go crazy. I mean, I don't care where you're ranked.
Yeah.
Just be thankful you're ranked, but don't go nuts. It's just a starting point. But the boys at the top four, Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, ball's in your court. You went in, just went out. That's all you got to do, went out.
That's it.
And, of course, you've got two of the top three teams in the country from the ACC and potentially an ACC championship game rematch of Notre Dame-Clemson, but they've got to get there first. Got work to do.
Yep. And both of them have interesting tests. Certainly Notre Dame, North Carolina, Friday at 3:30 on ABC. Clemson and Pittsburgh coming up this weekend as well on the ESPN side of things. You know, you start looking at Pitt and Clemson, and Clemson being delayed last week off the bye week the week before. Trevor Lawrence hasn't played since, the Syracuse game, Pack?
1 month ago yesterday.
I mean, now all of a sudden – Yeah, I mean, and now Kenny Pickett is back established as the Panthers quarterback. I think it's a game of styles. It's a game of tempo. Pittsburgh wants to kind of script it a little bit more than Clemson does. Clemson wants to, you know, push the tempo a little bit, things like that. Defensively, I'll be interested to see how many of those guys they've been able to get back, you know, that were banged up at South Bend. You know, and let's kind of see what the Tigers have, quote, under the hood, if you will. You know, Trevor's back. We'll see how that goes as well. Yesterday, by the way, Dabo needed just one more swing at the plate before Thanksgiving against Florida State.
And I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee, that's for sure. You know, I've been in this league 18 years. I've been the head coach here 12. All right, you know, they've had three head coaches in 4 years. So decisions that they make, you know, I'm not going to worry about advice from Tallahassee. I trust the people here, and I trust our doctors 100%.
You know, both coaches have defended their programs as they should. I'll say this again. I said this 3 days ago. It's unfortunate the game wasn't played. it wasn't. You got to say your piece and you move on. And for Clemson, you better be ready for Pitt on Saturday. And if you're Florida State, hey, you got to get ready for Virginia because Armstrong and the boys are playing good football. So, you know, Wes, I always hear coaches talk about the 24-hour rule, right? After a big win, you got 24 hours to get out of your system. But guess what? Come Monday morning, let's go. Really, in some respects, regardless of which way you fall on this one, if you're a Florida State fan, you're going to defend Norvell. If you're a Clemson guy, you're going to defend Dabo. And then, you know, everybody else is like, man, I'm tired of hearing you guys talk about it. Let's get on with it. It's time to get on with it. I mean, come on. It's if we have the game, great. If we don't, let's, again, embrace what you do have. And hopefully we'll get games coming up this week. But Clemson's in a position that if they win out, they're going to be exactly where they want to be. That's in the college football playoff. And if you're Notre Dame, life is good as a number two spot. You got to go take care of your business too. The great thing for the ACC, three teams in the top 10, two in the top three, four in the top 20. And the ironic thing is this week, a week that you got the Iron Bowl, the Civil War, you got the Egg Bowl, you got all these rivalries. All anybody wants to talk about is a game that didn't even take place. So if you don't think the ACC has arrived in football, you're hiding because the league has been front and center this week from all that. And I will just say one more thing with this Clemson deal. A blessing in disguise while everybody wanted the game to be played, by not playing, it did give them another week to heal up. I haven't heard anybody talk about this week. You know, it's one, you want to get reps, you want to play again, I get all that. But as banged up as Clemson was after that Notre Dame game, they basically got 3 weeks. And for a team with chip on the shoulder, eager to play, incredibly talented, if they get healthy at the right time, they are going to be a tough out. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, we got a big one on Friday, boys and girls. Just saying, folks in Chapel Hill, day after Turkey Day, it is go time Friday afternoon. And here comes number two Notre Dame. Here's North Carolina. I'm going to say it again until I'm shamed, just like I was last week. I thought NC State Liberty would kind of be a first to 35. I think both of these teams are going to score. I'm going to say it again. I may come back here Monday laughing, going, man, what was I talking about? But I think both of these offenses.
What were you talking about?
I think both of these offenses have the capability of putting up some numbers on Friday afternoon. I do.
Okay. All right. I think this comes down to the one equation we talked about on Monday, and I still think it shows up today. And I have no reason to think it'll change in the next 48 hours, to be honest. And that is if North Carolina can get Notre Dame away from dominating the game by running the football. And, you know, we talked about it with Tom Luganbill. We talked about it with others. The idea that Notre Dame is going to get up there in 22 personnel, for all I know, one or two tight ends, couple of backs, line up and run the rock. Does that force Carolina to commit one more than necessary, one more than normal to stop in the run game? And if you look at the big board, it's right there in front of you because Notre Dame runs it for about 230 and a half yards a game. Carolina allows about 152 a game. And the more you look at it, it just kind of sits right there. Yeah, I think they'll score, Pack. But how many times is Carolina going to touch the football if Notre Dame's allowed to run the ball? And I think it becomes the determining factor perhaps in the ball game.
Well, Notre Dame's going to be true to who they are, and that is they're going to line up and bloody your nose. And you know what? If you don't like it, you better figure out a way to do something about it because I don't think Notre Dame's going to change. I don't think they're going to change for what they do. So far, they've played eight times. They've won every one of them. And they've got that great offensive line. Granted, they've got two offensive linemen out for this particular game. But you know what? They've developed great depth, as Tom Luganbill talked about the other day on the show. Ian Book has been sensational, not only from a leadership standpoint, but he's also extended plays. He's been able to throw the football better than what a lot of folks anticipated, too. Thought his last two performances against Clemson and Boston College, respectively, were outstanding. They're playing with a ton of confidence. So I think Notre Dame walks in there and says, hey, listen, we respect everybody we play, but we're going to do what we do, and that is line up and run the ball. And if North Carolina is not going to man up and tackle anybody, it will be a long afternoon in Chapel Hill. But I do think North Carolina can score, and I think Sam Howell can sling it. I love their combination of wide receivers. They're going to get healthy in that department as well. I think you can attack Notre Dame in the air. And I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see ground and pound with the Irish, and I think you're going to see an aerial display with North Carolina. And I do think both of them have the potential of putting up some big, big numbers on Friday afternoon.
Yeah. By the way, the numbers we ran the other day are worth mentioning here. North Carolina has played 27 times against top three AP teams. Ofer. They and Vanderbilt 27, Wake Forest right behind them 25. 0-27 are the Tar Heels all time against AP top three teams. Worth noting. That's all I got for you.
Well, none of those games will have any bearing on what takes place Friday afternoon. Some folks would look at that number and go, North Carolina's got the do factor. I mean, they're due to win one of those. Some folks will look at that number and go, well, that's cool, because guess what? It'll be 28 come time you have your ninth serving of turkey on Friday evening. That's why we play, man. And now that the rankings are, the official ranking is out, Notre Dame knows exactly where they stand. They know exactly, hey, we went out, we're in, period. And if you're North Carolina, hey, you got some love, you're in the top 20 based on the committee, you knock off somebody as good as Notre Dame, and you just watch where you skyrocket next week when the rankings come out. So, hey, there's a lot at stake. North Carolina knows they've got to win to stay in the conversation. If they lose, they're basically out of trying to show up in Charlotte on the 19th. So, hey, it gets late November. These games matter. Pitt at Clemson, Notre Dame, and, of course, here's Miami chilling out going, hey, don't forget about us. We're in the top 10. We're just kind of hanging here, doing our thing. We'll get a chance to see the Tar Heels in December as well. So, big, important games coming down the stretch here in the ACC.
All right, let's run through the we've already talked about Pitt and Clemson. We've talked about Notre Dame, North Carolina. Four others on the list. Ready? Early thought on NC State, Syracuse. Dave Dorn joined us earlier today.
State's playing with a lot of confidence. Terrific win against Liberty. You take it, you run to the bank. They got a chance to close. And I think if you're Syracuse, you won one game. They were, quite frankly, dreadful Friday night at Louisville offensively. They're young, and it just seems to me – I know it's senior day, the emotion that Dave Dorn talked about, especially going on the road, but there won't be anybody there. There's no parents. There's no fans. So it's not necessarily the quote-unquote senior day that you normally expect. I just haven't seen enough from Syracuse. They give me spikes of quarters or plays here. They've given up big chunk plays. Just think NC State's playing with so much confidence. I like the Wolfpack.
All right. I think Louisville, because of the shutout last week against Syracuse and BC kind of, having games pushed around, games being rescheduled, this one was put back on this date after being a little later in the year. Boston College, interesting week for Phil Jurkovec and the Eagles to try and kind of reset a little bit here against Louisville too.
Perhaps, arguably, maybe the most competitive game this weekend. In terms of, hey, I don't know who wins this game. Jeff Hafley's done a tremendous job. Yeah. Satterfield and the boys still playing hard. Looked good Friday night beating up on Syracuse. There's been some rumors swirling regarding Satterfield and maybe the South Carolina job. Vince Tyree said, not happening. He's not going to interview. So you got all these kind of crazy distractions sometimes you got to deal with. Thanksgiving in the middle of the week. Having to go on the road. The COVID stuff. That's not been an issue with BC. So if I had to pick... sitting here right now, I'd pick Boston College because they're at home, and they just seem to be a little bit more even-keeled than Louisville. But can the Cards win this game? They certainly could.
Yeah. I'd like to welcome Duke back to the ACC. Haven't played since November the 7th. I'd like to welcome Georgia Tech back. Haven't played since Halloween. I have no idea what to expect in this ballgame Saturday night at Grant Field.
Me neither. But it will have a bearing, perhaps, on accounting. On Monday, because these two find themselves in that 11-15 cluster, and they've all been kind of stuck there, quite frankly, for about a month and change. But it's just going to be good to see them, knock on wood, playing again. Like you said, it's been 3 weeks for Duke, 4 weeks for Georgia Tech, and here we are at the end of November. So I just hope, in particular, this game gets played because the kids deserve to be able to go out and compete and put in all that hard work and have a chance to go play.
Couldn't agree with you more. Georgia Tech's got four left in 4 weeks, kind of the way it sets up here. All right, the last one is Virginia at Florida State here before we get to break. And I'll say this about the Cavaliers. They've won three straight. We haven't talked about Virginia winning. Now, I know the last one was the Fighting Lance Barrows of Abilene Christian last weekend. But that all being said, they beat Carolina, they beat Louisville, and now they've beaten Abilene Christian. Charles Snowden, get well soon, big fella. We're going to miss seeing you on the field here. At Florida State, Boston College at home, and at Virginia Tech for Bronco Mendenhall's team to finish out the campaign, Pac.
The Hoos are playing in an uptick, right? You kind of feel like they've kind of got some momentum. For Florida State, you hope not playing Clemson doesn't beat you twice. All the talking and yakking back and forth with the two. I'm just ready to see Florida State play, and hopefully they can play the game, right? Let's just emphasize that. Let's just hope the game is played at this rate. So Mike Norvell's got to play a bunch of young kids. He's got to get reps for his guys. And again, all this stuff about, oh, they're ducking us, that's all nonsense. Hey, they've got to get reps, and they got to get their young guys to have a chance to see, hey, who can compete when it really matters. So if you're Mike Norvell and the boys, hey, let's hopefully get this game in on Saturday night, see where it's going. But Virginia is certainly playing much better football than Florida State. The Noles have been a disappointment.
Irish O'Fell talked to us about it the other day. Expect Jordan Travis to be the quarterback, but I don't know that that's a given. We'll see what happens Saturday night in primetime presented by Geico here on ACC Network.
You just got to play everybody. I mean, you're to the point with Florida State season that, again, all the noise from what happened last week behind you, you just got to play your guys and just say, all right, who is still in? Who is dialed in and putting in the effort, wants to compete? You're going to see a bunch of freshmen and a bunch of sophomores. I just hope they can stay healthy to finish off the season.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of a very short week. We're not here Thursday or Friday. Sorry. They told us they've had enough of us.
No, you're not.
They told us they had enough of us.
You're not sorry.
I will tell you, doing two full-time gigs nonstop since March during this pandemic, no vacation in between, these next 2 days are going to be nice. It's going to be nice to have nothing to do Thursday or Friday. I got to be honest with you.
Right.
It's really going to feel good.
We will be back Monday, a full recap of the weekend in football and basketball for you. All the implications. Couple of things to pass along. Jeff Goodman has tweeted out that a game today between Stony Brook and Bryant has resulted in a cancellation because one of the officials in the game has tested positive for the virus.
Wes, we are going to have stories that you're just going to shake your head. We had them this past weekend in football, right? I mean, with what happened with Clemson and Florida State, which was the first Saturday morning cancellation. And you saw how all that unfolded. Everybody finding loopholes and what needs to be done. You're going to get it in basketball, too. We are living in a time where, like I keep saying over and over, you have to embrace what you get and can't worry about what you don't get, because we're going to have cancellations and disruptions and postponements and, hey, I had plans, I had tickets, I had a hotel ready to go. Not happening. It's just what we're going to get. So, we're going to get this thing started today in hoops, which is great, and it will stagger all over the place. But I keep emphasizing the end is going to be much more important than when we ever get officially started. But the good news is, if you love hoops, you got it. If you love football, you got it. So it's a great time of the year, man, from that perspective. And again, just embrace and love what you get, because crazy times we're living in right now.
Only reason I bring that up, by the way, on the game involving Stony Brook and Bryant is Syracuse's opening opponent on Friday afternoon at 3:00, by the way, on a ball game we'll have for you here as well on ACC Network. You want hoops? We got five in a row for you starting at noon today. A pair of women's games followed by three men's games here on the opening day of college basketball. By the way, the Friday Syracuse Bryant game leads us to
Bojangles.
Roll the video. That's it. The weekend menu. Get the bacon, egg, and cheese ready for my man. He'll be there in just a moment.
Yep.
Let's take you to Friday, shall we? A men's, a women's, and a men's game. Bryant at Syracuse. The Blue Hose of Presbyterian.
Yep.
Visit Little John Coliseum to see Amanda Butler and the Tigers. And then at 7 o'clock, Steve Forbes is part of that Mako Medical Classic to start the season in Winston-Salem. Longwood, the Lancers, the Fighting Brian Kersey's, by the way, Pack. Visit the Demon Deacons. 7 o'clock here on ACC Network. Football on Saturday, we got three of them for you. NC State, Syracuse, Louisville, BC, and then Virginia, Florida State, all here on the network. And then Sunday. Ready? Three women's games followed by a men's game. I told you, this is your spot for the hoops. Florida State and women at noon. Georgia Tech. Talk about the get-down rivalries. 4 o'clock, Miami, Notre Dame. Neil Ivey and the Irish get to work. And then at 6 o'clock, Jim Larranaga's got Miami and North Florida. That is an extensive 3-page Bojangles weekend menu for you.
Which is ironic because in about 8 minutes, I am heading to Bojangles, and about three biscuits sounds about right to get things started late morning for me. Sounds about right. If Bojangles has one of those special buy two, get one free thing, I'm in. I'm going for that deal.
Yeah. Is that what's happening today?
I am going to Bojangles. I'm taking the dogs. Chester rides up front in the Ford F-150. Fuller's in the back. Piper, I got to deal with Piper, too. I might have to bring an extra biscuit back for Piper. But, Bojangles is on the agenda. There is no doubt. No doubt about Bojangles.
Is it only one biscuit for Piper? Only one for Piper? Is it not two?
She's a puppy. She's a puppy, and I don't own her. So I'll just give her one. But the boys, Chester and Fuller, they know. They know.
Yeah. Very quickly, thank you to DJ Turner. Thanks to Dave Doran. Wonderful visit with Ralph Sampson. Appreciate him stopping by to visit with us. And, of course, Seth Greenberg. We talk college basketball with Coach. Always great to visit with Coach Greenberg and get our hoops coverage underway. Look forward to more of those as the season unfolds. We do wish all of you all a very happy Thanksgiving with your friends and family. I ask you to be safe and be smart over this weekend, given our battle with the coronavirus. As always, we are grateful for Drew Brooks and Josh Macri, Meg Drobniak's here, Lewis Neal, everybody that helps us put Packer and Durham on the air. I hope you folks enjoy your time with family and friends as well the next couple of days and appreciate all the things that everybody does to help us bring you the show every day here on ACC Network, too.
And,
just thought I'd add that.
I appreciate that. And when you do the turkey, I mean, if you like deep-fried turkeys, you got to be careful out there. Just telling you. And I'm telling you, I always question the deep-fried turkey till I had one, and that's the way to go. If you can pull it off, you got some friends, or you can do it yourself, or you know where to get one, I'm just telling you, man, a deep-fried turkey is unbelievable when you do it. But you better be careful when you're dealing with it.
Got to be careful, Pac. Deep-fried turkey's hard to do. Oh, no. Oh, no.
This could happen. Pay attention.
You gotta
be careful. I'm just telling you.
Oh,
we're not trying to make light of this, but you know, you think you're an expert, you better know what you're doing. So be careful.
Come on.
Hey, Wes, that you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how often that happens. So if you're gonna do the deep fried turkey thing, be careful. Just pay attention. Know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.